What about paganism? Disc 3, Holidays and Practices. Now that we have laid a biblical background from the Torah to the prophets to the apostolic scriptures, we are ready to examine some practical everyday issues when it comes to dealing with paganism and idolatry in today's world. In this teaching, we will examine Avodah Zarah within the context of holidays and practices. In the Messianic movement today, there has been a plethora written and taught about the supposed pagan background of Western holidays and festivals. While it is sometimes good and necessary to research and study these topics, unfortunately, this has rarely been done in a balanced and careful manner. There's a lot of wild-eyed scholarship, or shall we say lack of scholarship at times, that seeks to find deep pagan roots for just about every single Christian practice. I will affectionately refer to this as paganoia, where some self-styled Hebrew roots teachers seem to find an idolatrous origin for every single church custom. This is both dangerous and destructive, and is not at all healthy for the growth and progression for the body of Messiah. On the other hand, there are those that seek to turn a blind eye and deny that there has been some mixing of idolatry and biblical faith. They sometimes seek to justify every custom through scriptural gymnastics and downplay the reality of paganism in our world today. This, too, is neither healthy nor balanced. Instead, we should approach this topic without any kind of agenda other than to find the truth and discover God's will and instruction in these areas. To be honest right up front, this is an overwhelming topic, and we will not be able to examine every detail and aspect, but it is my hope to at least equip you with the tools to begin making up your own mind for yourself and your family's practice. What I will not be doing is telling you what to do. Not only is this an immense topic, but it is a complex one as well. Not everything is so cut and dry, and 2,000 years of church history and practice has made things a bit cloudy. I joked with a friend before I sat down to record this teaching that it will probably make no one happy. I said this tongue-in-cheek, but the reality is that there are those of you listening who might want me to declare everything pagan, and that anyone who participates in these practices and holidays is involved in Avodah Zarah. On the flip side, there are those of you who perhaps want me to declare everything permissible, and there is no need to change anything. Instead of coming in with preconceived ideas, I ask and pray that you approach this topic with open-mindedness and a willingness to learn and grow. Like I said, this is a difficult topic and one that gets divisive in a hurry. At the end of the day, everyone will have to answer before Hashem for his or herself. Again, I don't want to tell anyone what to do or condemn anyone, but rather give some food for thought that will help us all grow. With that in mind, let's begin our study. As we already pointed out, there are some teachers out there today who seek to prove the pagan origins of everything that is not explicitly in the Bible. They suffer from paganoia. But believe it or not, scholars feel that many of the biblical festivals mentioned in the Torah were not new inventions, but rather adaptations of Canaanite practice, thus pagan in origin. For example, these scholars say that the fall festivals, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, can all find their parallels in Ugaritic fall festivals. It has even been suggested that practices such as circumcision were inherited from the surrounding nations. The great Torah authority, known as the Rambam, actually feels that the Torah imitated the ways of pagan worship with temple and animal sacrifices, but at the same time modified them in order to help wean the Israelites off such idolatrous practices. Here is a passage from the Rambam's Guide for the Perplexed. It is impossible to go from one extreme to the other suddenly. Therefore man, according to his nature, is not capable of abandoning suddenly that which he is deeply accustomed. As it was then the deeply ingrained and universal practice that people were brought up with, to conduct religious worship with animal sacrifices and temples. God, in his wisdom, did not see fit to command us to completely reject all these practices. something that man could not conceive of accepting, according to human nature, which inclines to habit. He therefore left these practices, but transformed them from their idolatrous associations, that their purpose should be directed toward him. Thus, he commanded us to build a sanctuary for him with an altar to his name and offer sacrifices to him. In this way, idolatry was blotted out, and the great foundation of our faith, the existence and oneness of God, was established. This was accomplished without confusing people's minds by prohibiting the worship they were accustomed to and which alone they were familiar with. God doesn't choose to change man's nature with a miracle, as sacrificial worship is not a primary intention. Only one temple has been appointed. In no other place is it allowed to sacrifice. To limit such worship within bounds that God did not deem it necessary to abolish it. Because of this, the prophets often declare that the object of sacrifices is not very essential and that God can dispense with them. The other rabbis did not accept Rambam's statements, and they remain controversial. But it shows that if we dig deep enough, we can indeed find a pagan origin, or at least a pagan parallel, for everything. But the point always comes back to what is most important, and that is that Hashem commands us that we are to worship Him as is prescribed in His Word, regardless if there are similarities to paganism or not. Let's read again the quote we read in the first CD from the Encyclopedia Judaica's entry on idolatry. The one God is to be worshipped only as prescribed by the law. The difference between the biblical ceremonies and their counterparts is not intrinsic, but is simply the fact that the former are prescribed by the law, while the latter are not. In the Bible, to worship the only God with rites that are not prescribed by the law is an act of avodah zarah. Therefore, Torah is the baseline. Let's take a few minutes to examine how Judaism approaches issues that relate to avodah zarah and customs of the nations in the 20th century. This is important because the Jewish people are really the only ones throughout history that have sought to apply all of the Torah's prohibitions on idolatry to their modern surroundings. And after all, it is they who have been entrusted with the Torah and shining its light to the nations.